Lamsos, where you were going, was really at the end of a long stretch of water, was it?
Yes, it was an 18 nautical mile fjord, very narrow and very twisting. It opened out in front of Namsos into a big lake-like head.
It must have been a pretty cold place then.
Yes, everywhere was covered, and I mean everywhere. The whole of the ground was covered in quite a few inches of snow, and this was 10:30 at night, of course, and once daylight had gone, the atmosphere froze. And even where there had been soft snow, it had obviously frozen solid.
So had you been kitted out in, you know, warm clothing? And
yes,
stuff?
we had two pair of boots, which we certainly needed, woolen underwear, and our own thick uniforms, of course.
Yeah.
And then in addition, we had special waistcoats, and finally a top coat of special Arctic fabric to help defeat the cold.
But you still couldn't keep warm then?
No, it was impossible to keep warm.
Yeah.
During the night time, anyway. During the daytime, of course, so the sun was out and it was much more comfortable.
So the following day then, you're into action straight away and your first experience of Stuka bombing.
Yes, indeed.
Tell us what it's like.
We had never seen them before, and we didn't know what we were up against. And they came over in groups of three, six, or nine, and they split up and they attacked the whole of the Namsos area, and woe betide any naval ships that happened to be in the head of the fjord at the time.
So they were diving towards you, in fact?
Yes, they plummeted out of the sky almost vertically.
There's a pretty horrendous sound from them as well.
They were fitted with a screaming device.
Really?
And as they dived, this screaming noise magnified and scared 11 daylights out of us, to be quite honest.
Well, you just had what, the one Bofors gun? You were on a Bofors gun?
I was on a Bofors gun. There were seven of us in the gun team.
And you didn't have any small arms? You didn't have any other any kind of weaponry at all then?
No, nothing at all.
That's extraordinary, really, isn't it?
This is one of the things that puzzled us, why we had no other arms, because had any German troops come out of the forest behind where the gun was, I'm afraid there was nothing we could have done about it. The gun was set into the hillside in such a way that it covered the arc of visibility for attacking aircraft.
Right. But their targeting wasn't all that good either, from what you write, because there was an awful lot of misses, wasn't there, around
the
vessels?
Yes.
Well, why did were they just bad on target or what?
I think, like us, they were new to the job, and possibly they needed some more time to get more accuracy.
And as the day went on, you say on the 28th of April, there seemed to be more of them around, and they were diving even lower, were they?
Yes, the longer the time went on, the worse they became.
Yeah.
It was quite obvious that, although we didn't know it at the time, we felt it was quite obvious that the airfields from which they were operating were not too far away, and that they had complete control, because we at no time saw any aircraft of the RAF. This is no reflection on the RAF. Mm-hmm. The situation was impossible for them to operate.
But this went on all day on this day.
Yes, yes.
Your nerves must have been in a totally shreds, I suppose.
The reaction came later, really, when the day was done. But during the day, while we were doing our job, we were so concentrating on what we had to do that we didn't have time to even think about anything else.
What about the attack on HMS Bittern? That was a particularly vicious one, wasn't it?
Yes, it spent almost the whole day weaving and twisting, and bombs were falling around it, none of which hit it, until at 5 o'clock that day, suddenly three Stukas attacked it, and their tactics were such that one came in from each side and the other came in from the stern, and the armament on the ship itself was insufficient, although they fought to the very last, and all our guns were blazing at the same time. The ship was struck by a bomb from the Stuka that came in at the stern, and the stern was completely destroyed.
Mm.
Immediately, fire broke out, and we heard later that the crackling, like fireworks, we heard was small arms ammunition, which was stored in a chest on the stern, exploded. Fire swept along the ship right up to the captain's area. The ship was obviously in dire straits, and some of the crew evidently had jumped overboard and were swimming towards the shore. In fact, one or two of our guns situated at the water's edge, their gun teams were able to assist those men ashore. But HMS Janus, another destroyer, suddenly appeared on the scene and went to the rescue of all the remaining men aboard the Bittern.
So by the time you get to early May then, somebody's made a decision somewhere to send troops in to get you away and get out then.
Yes, we didn't know then. I know now that the High Command had decided that the whole expedition was a dead loss, and they hadn't been able to do what they came to do.
So then on the 3rd of May, you were out to sea, you were in a French vessel, you were leaving the area, but you had a pretty grim experience then, didn't you?
Yes. About 8:45 a.m. we heard heavy gunfire, and then this was followed by a series of tremendous explosions which shook the ship, and of course any peace of mind we had up to that time was destroyed immediately. We couldn't see this. We were battened down below decks.
In very unpleasant condition.
Yes, I was one of a group of about 15 or 20 people in a small compartment. Completely shut off, there was no air or access, and the only accommodation was to sit on the steel deck, and those of us who were lucky enough got proper backs against three great big drums containing chloride of lime. It was a dreadful place.
Yeah.
But as each explosion took place, it rocketed through the ship, and to be quite honest, I half expected a big hole and a rush of sea at any moment. Mm. It didn't happen, of course.
Mm. When this 56th Light Anti-Aircraft Regiment was sent out on this action, somebody must have thought it was a good idea. In the end, it turned out to be far from that, didn't it?
Yes, I'm afraid the whole campaign, not only at Namsos, but at Andelsnes, which was south of Trondheim, and at Narvik, was a complete and utter failure. And none of us who participated in the Namsos action could understand why it had been done, because there was never a chance of getting away with it. Mm. The troops were poorly armed, and when the infantry had gone south came up against the German forces, they came up against forces who were armed to the teeth. They had no protection from the air attacks that they underwent. So when they came back to Namsos for evacuation, they were in a pretty sorry state.
And there you were, at 20 years of age, full of adventure. Do anything, take anything, but it must have been a horrendous experience. I mean, even, you know, you must have felt that you'd had a miraculous escape as well.
Perhaps. Yes, we did think that, exactly, a miraculous escape. We had been initiated in a very, very cruel way, and although there was so much more ahead of us, we couldn't even think about at that time. I don't think I was ever so frightened in my life as I was during that short spell in Norway.